I want to give you something very practical today that I think that we all need. If you can find the 78th division of the Psalms, we are going to that part today. And looking for something that God has longed to do in every one of our lives. But what is he asking me to do? He's asking me to pay attention to him. He's sovereign. We need to pay attention to him. Because he will guide us by his Spirit. But he needs not to have to hit you upside the head like he does me. He just needs to say it in a still small voice is what the word says. So this morning, I want to talk about I stole the title, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. What an incredible song, what a great song of the church. But it comes out of what I'm going to take from is the 78th division of the Psalms. And I would like for you to go down to verse 70, and we'll finish up the chapter. There's only three verses there. But it's talking about how God makes his selection. That's sometimes we don't think that that should be the selection, but we're not God. God knows what he's doing. God knows what you're capable of. God knows where we're going and what he wants to do with us. But we just need to know his mind. And what he says is the important thing. Because we all have opinions, we all have insights, we all have life experience, but that means nothing unless it is guided by God. Unless the Lord's guiding it, you might want to give it up. Because all that can bring is hardship in our lives. So he says here in the 78th division of the Psalms, beginning at verse 70, he chose David. And at the time that he chose David, it probably looked to many people like, are you crazy? Why are you picking some kid? This kid's been out there playing with the sheep. Come on. Why would you do that? He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. And this is the important verse. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. That's our God. That's exactly what God does. And then he asks us, can we be guided? Can we be guided by his Holy Spirit? The one that he gave us, the one that he said, I'm going back to the Father, but I'm giving you my Spirit, and he will guide you if you'll let him to guide. You know, you look back into Genesis, ever since Eden, man has demonstrated their great ability to guide their lives and direct their own affairs. Have they not? Let's see. Confusion. That's one of the good ones. Conflict. Oh, I like that one. That tells me a lot about men. Collisions. We have all the big C's right there. Yesterday, we had the privilege of getting to do a wedding, and I just had to make the statement that it was not good that man should be. Remember Genesis chapter 2, where when Adam came along on the scene, and God said to Adam, said, it's not good that man should be alone. So he made him a helpmeet. And they've always thought that was about loneliness. I said, it's because man can't be trusted by themselves. So he gave him a woman, heavily sandpapered, kind of work on them a little bit, you know, straighten them up, and get them in the right direction. Well, there are times in life that we certainly need it because we're real good at conflict. We're good at collisions. We're good at confusion. And we've proved it through history all the time. He gave us this creation that we know in our lives right now, but yet, even though he gave it to man or mankind, he still had to keep his hand on it. You know, he couldn't just turn it over. He had to keep his hand on it because what would we do with it? Well, we proved what we have done with it before. But God has a constant controlling interest in the very lives that we have. Because if not, this world would be turned right back to chaos and void. I believe that. I believe it. How many have said to them, I'm the captain of my own fate? Really? And that's what it is. You're the captain of a ship that's going down. Because you're directing it and you're trying to do it. We've declared our independence from God. How many times? I'll never do that. I think it's Shirley MacLaine. I'm God. Yeah, right. I would have loved that if when she screamed that out, that all of a sudden, bah! That would have been so cool. Lightning bolt from heaven. But God, he did not do that. Sometimes we say, oh, well, that was luck. Sometimes we say, oh, it was just a coincidence. And then we get real spiritual and we say, oh, no, it was just providence. You know, God's sovereign. And there's nothing about luck in this deal. There's nothing about coincidence. You may call it coincidence. God says, this is an appointment that I am giving you. I'm giving it for your best. I'm giving it to guide your life. I'm giving it to you because you need it. Then there's others. Some say, I'm a believer. But yet, as a believer, they totally ignore the Word of God. They totally ignore what the Spirit is trying to say to them. They say, well, I have my rights in the sight of God. I've been bought with a price. I am not my own. I belong to Him. And when He says, this is what you should do, I think that's what we should do. Because it was said right here, He fed them. He fed them according to the integrity of His heart. Now, I know it's speaking of David, but it was a reflection of who God is. God spoke through David to keep Israel, to keep Judah, the one that He loves so much. This is what God did. We can't afford to totally ignore God. We cannot turn our backs upon the Word of God. We cannot. We need the Holy Spirit's leadership all the time. We don't just need it when it's, you know, I'm going to church. Everything will be great. No, it'll be great. That's great. Fellowship's wonderful. But I need it every moment of every day. And then we're blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to know people, godly people, that are bold in their witness. And they'll stand up and they will say it humbly. Humbly, because they know they need God's Spirit guidance every single day, of every moment of every day. If not, well, sometimes it goes a little awry and we don't need that. I need him to spell out the details. I do. I need God's direction. I need him to say things to me as he said to David, and he proved it out in his life. Was he perfect? No, he was not perfect. Of course he wasn't. But I like what he promised. And he said, I'm going to fulfill every bit of this. And he did. And he will continue to. One day, Israel will be put right back in that place. The Holy Spirit speaks. You remember the Bible speaking about the word, how it came to pass? Holy men of old wrote as the Spirit moved on them. You remember that part? You remember how he said that? The Holy Ghost has a calling for us. For you. Just like he does for me. Oh, it may not be the preacher, it may not be the pastor, it may not be any of those, but he still has a calling that he placed upon your lives that he expects us to follow after that calling. How did he do that? Well, those old prophets, they said, he guided me with his eyes. He put his hand upon me. The voice of God spoke to me, and he told me what he wanted to do. The Spirit of God moved upon me, and this is what God called me to do. That's what he's still doing. He's calling us. He's separated us unto a godly work. He's stopped us a few times. You're going to be a knucklehead if you keep doing that. Don't want to do that. Just keep away from that. He's done all those things. He's directing us if we listen. If we pay attention to what he's saying. As he did the apostles, starting an early church. Now, we've been studying the book of Acts on a Wednesday night, and it's been fantastic. I've had more fun with that than I've had in a lot of times. But in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, you remember, they're going to replace Judas. Matthias was a great guy, okay? He was fantastic. He was probably one of the best people that they could ever have. So what did they say? Well, let's cast our lots, and whoever gets it, that gets to be the 12th apostle. So Matthias gets to be the 12th apostle. That was before Pentecost. That was before the Holy Spirit moved upon those men. They had great thoughts. But you know how the great thoughts that they had before? You saw how many times they got in trouble. You know how many times they messed up. They had great thoughts. But was that God's thought? But after Pentecost, we find another person comes out of the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And his name was Saul, who God said, I worked that old boy over. I'll straighten him right up. He will be an apostle. Even though one born out of time, he says. Even though he persecuted the church. Sometimes, men, we have great thoughts, but they're not God's thoughts. And then God gave us heavenly sandpaper, right? Okay, moving on. God wants harmony. He wants the unity of the early church. And how did that happen? It wasn't because we're so great or they were so great. It's because he is so great. And he deals with us. And it's evident. When we let God do what he wants to do, we won't trust our own trustworthiness. Because sometimes we think we got it and we just don't got it. Okay? I'm sorry, that's very, all you college kids, don't pay attention to anything I just said right there. It's improper English. And I'm sure I'll hear about it later. But it's true. Man is always quick to make decisions about some things. At least I hope they are. That's what men usually do. And then God says, whoa, wait a minute. Aren't you glad we have a spirit that says, send me somebody that's got an insight to this? And that's what God always does. Sometimes it requires action. Sometimes you got to step right up. And I know we do when our pride or our reputation is damaged. And we step right up and say, oh, I'll tell you what. No, it's too bad that we don't spend time to defend God like that as much as we defend ourselves. But like I've told you ladies many times, men are stupid. And I know that they don't want to own up to that, but that's okay. I'll own up for everybody. I just confessed for all of you guys. It'll be okay. You're welcome. Either we get impatient because God's not doing it right now, or maybe we're suspicious. Our wives have been talking to God and he's going to make me do this right now. I just know this. When you rest in him, he guides your life. If you put your trust in him, he guides your life. It's not about winning at all cost. It's not about, I'm going to make this happen. We all have opinions. We all do. We have a personal point, and sometimes we mess up that privilege along with what God says he wants to do. Have you ever thought about losing for the sake of peace? Ben? Lose an argument for the sake of peace? Be willing to be wrong so that God's love and his grace can go forward into that person's life. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't hurt you at all. But it does humble you. It humbles us enough to see that only he is the one that counts. Or do we want to magnify the non-essentials of life? You know, remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? Man, you're straining at a gnat, then you're swallowing a camel. Humps and hoofs and all. You're taking it all in. His whole point was this, that sometimes we just need more guidance. We need more insight to what he wants to do. We're overrun so many times with our personal slant and our personal bias. We just are. It happens in the church. It happens in life. It happens everywhere. But God said, let me guide you. Do we pray for that guidance? I have to pray for it a lot because I know me. I'm going to jump right up and go do something about it because that's just the nature, that's who I am. But I know this also, that if I don't listen to him, I get myself in trouble. And I don't want to be that person. I love people that will testify of God's guidance in their lives. I love that victory. I love to hear that testimony. I love to hear them say that God is guiding them in what they want me to do. Can I tell you this? Brother Sonny, I'll give you that for those of you older people that know, remember Brother Sonny. Brother Sonny was our evangelist. He used to come here all the time. He says, what's true is not new, and what's new is not true. So you don't need to think that God's got some new revelation for you. I bet it's already here in the Word. It's already here. His Spirit will guide you into all truth. That's the promise that was given. We just need to be spiritually sensitive enough to receive it and then respond to it. We need to be the kind of people that have the privilege, as we all do, to hear from God. All of you have somebody in your life that you just hold high esteem. You know, you got somebody up there that just really speaks, and you're boom, you're tuned in. Why is it not be God? We all pick human people that are very impressive, and they're wonderful people to be around. But the most impressive is hearing it from God. And God said, I will speak through my Spirit to you every moment of every day. If you'll listen, if you'll just tune in on my wavelength, I've got one for you right here. In fact, I think that's what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the test of sonship. When he made the statement, and Paul would echo it. He's in Romans chapter 8, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, that's how God speaks to us. We are led by his Spirit. Jesus made it very clear in John's Gospel in the 16th chapter. He says that when the Spirit of truth has come, he shall guide you into all truth. And he's here. He'd been here for thousands of years. I know that he's been here before that lady back there in the back even came around. That's the 100-year-old I'm pointing at, my old mom. It's okay. She loves me no matter what. But there's always been a time that God said, I will do this if you will respond to my leadership. Pray for God's will, and then be patiently waiting upon it. Don't run out and try to make it happen. Wait on God to do that. And he will do that. And all that, he will confirm that in your life. I know how we confirm our own prejudices. I know how we do that. I mean, it's one of those things that come up real quick. But he said, I want you to be, as a statement, as I want you to be as honest as a baby. Isn't that a good one? That right there is a word. Honest as a babe, objective as a scientist. Then you'll know God. Then you'll hear from God all the time. We all have preferences. I just think the mine are the best, but it's beside the point. You can cheer for the Longhorns if you want to. It'll be okay. You guys figure it out eventually. As sick and bearers is right. That's okay. All right. I'm not infallible. He is. Right? He's perfect. He's perfect in all of his guidance. We just need to trust that perfection. We need to trust that everything that Christ speaks to us will guide our lives in the direction it needs to go. And every thought that you have, let me say, I'm going to say this as kindly as I can. It's not always from God. I don't care how religious you think you are. And flip it on the other side, it's not always from Satan either. There are some things in the neutral zone, okay? They just happen. That is reality. Some of those things fall out there in that neutral zone. So don't think you just got a word that wasn't a word. Because at last time I looked, some of you are a little older, like me, but we're not 600-year-old saints, and we don't have every insight, but he has all of those things for us. In the book of Acts, he would say in the 10th, there in the 15th chapter, this was Paul and Barnabas as they were writing back to the church of Asia Minor. He says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost," but I like the end part, "and to us." Well, I'm glad that the Holy Ghost saw it my way. Well, I think it was the other way around. So how does God guide us? How does he do those very things in our lives? He does it in a lot of ways. Paul makes this statement, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what we have to do. What else did he say? He said, the just shall live by faith. That's the promise that is right there. So what does God do for us? God leads us. Can I tell you this? There's never been a time or a point in your life that does not require faith when God's leading. Think about that for a moment. If God is leading, it requires faith. It requires faith for us to be guided by. Somebody said, well, I just thought God would do whatever. God did, yeah. But do you know that Noah built an ark? Did he do it because some engineer came along and said, hey, this is your design? Yeah, God. And he had to do it by faith. Abraham, remember the father of faith? What did he do? He said, go off into that country over there and I'll tell you where to go when you get there. But he did it by faith. He believed in Jehovah God that was guiding his life. Noah believed God and God guided his life. And I love what was written to me out of the great book of Hebrews. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith. Yes, Paul did it. I wanted you to know, Tracy, Paul wrote that. Okay. God never, ever directs without us engaging our faith. He wants us to pay attention and by faith receive what he has for us. So, that's one aspect of it right there. Another aspect of it is his judgments. How does he do that? Well, we all have what we want to do. We think this is the best way to do it. Well, have you ever thought about the fact that he enlightens your reasoning? Have you got that far? I would hope that everybody's gotten that far. That it's God that enlightens everything about it. You may have, as many people do, it's not uncommon that they have a mistaken idea about that very thing. That God set aside your common sense and your judgment. Well, I'm sorry, he did not. But you ought to recognize that God will say, I'm going to overrule your common sense and your judgments, and I'm going to make that part of who you really need to be as my witness. And if you don't have that, you're going to remain a baby in Christ, in spiritual infancy. And that's not a good thing. Oh, I love babies. Babies need to grow up, though, right? Amen. They all need to grow up. You can't stay a spiritual baby all your life and be of use to Christ. We need to grow up. We need to be guided by it. I like what John Wesley said about that. John Wesley is a very practical person. I know some of you may not understand that about John Wesley and that name, but I can tell you this. This is what John Wesley said. God guided by presenting reason to my mind. You understand that? God guided him by presenting reason to his mind. How does God guide you? He was one of the greatest. And I'm sure that Calvin would have said the same thing. I'm sure that Martin Luther would have said the same thing. I'm sure that every great man or woman of God would say the very same thing. God spoke to them. God made it evident to them. So when you exercise your best judgment, you say, well, it came from you. No, it didn't come from you. It came because you yielded yourself to Christ. And Christ's Spirit guides you. How else does he do it? Godly counsel. Go to somebody that has some godly counsel. Get with somebody that you have faith in that knows God and then he's been doing this for a little bit of time. How does he do it? He does it by godly instruction. Oh, the Word. The Word will guide your life. Get with someone that is a godly teacher. How did they know that? Because they spent time in this book. And they have all the life lessons that are necessary. You see, just like he said to David, just like David did it, he said he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. He didn't get that on his own, people. He got that from God. But guidance like that, well, it requires very attentive listening. The closer and the more we want to listen to what God has to say, the more guidance he will give. And when he gives guidance, you can't go wrong. It can't happen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. We are those pilgrims through a barren land. I'm weak. You're mighty. I just got to call upon you. I just need you to guide me. Awaking the very essence of who I am to say, got a lot of faults. And I do. But I know your power can stir my heart and can guide my life. It's not about being a preacher. It's about being Christian. It's about being a child of God. All he wants to do is illuminate your soul to make a difference for his glory. And what will that do for you? Well, he'll give you a spiritual instinct. You know, when we say that my spirit bears witness with your spirit, that's a spiritual instinct that God and God alone gives it. Finally, he guides us by the Spirit in such a way. The Holy Spirit, remember him? Y'all remember him? He's around. He's still doing it. He opens your mind. Oh, no, he just speaks to your heart. No, he doesn't. No. He's way more. He's already here. But it's a big path from here to here. Aren't you glad that God speaks to your head? That tells you certain things you need to do. He said, I will guide your mind. I will reveal who I am. And you just need to think upon me. Look at the character of Jesus. Look at the disciples after Pentecost. They had the mind of Christ. They began to do things. They served him with unselfish devotion. Up to that point, it was all about, I want to be the prime minister. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. Nah, that wasn't what God wanted. He said, I will make that. He also does that by our circumstances. You say, well, I don't like mine. You ever thought that God might be doing something or allowing something to take place in your life to guide you? To do something that maybe you've never done before in your life? He allows certain things to come to pass for his glory. We may not understand it at the time. I know there's been plenty of times in my life, but I know this. If I allow everything that God wants to do in the circumstances as he surrounds my daily life, not just Sunday morning type deal, no. God will guide me by his Spirit. He will guide me to find the right counsel. He will guide me to find devout, wise people, and he will use them to lead our lives. Everything that I ever tell you, take it to the Spirit. Don't take it because I said it. Take it to the Spirit. Ask God what he wants to give you out of that. And he guides us by inward convictions. We know when it's not right. Don't you? I do. I know when I'm out there on that edge. I know when the sheep are all here in the middle and they're hovering around the, you know, they're right there. And then I know when I'm kind of putting it out at the edge and I'm kind of checking it out and seeing what's going on over here. And God says, come back over here. I'm the shepherd you need to pay attention to. And he's always done that because he will guide me. He will guide me every single time. I just need to listen to him and I need to obey him. That's what I think is good, not only for you, but it's definitely good for me, that he will guide me. Because he said, I will feed you. I will feed you with my integrity, and there's nothing better than God's integrity. It's truth, it's right, and it will always be right. So whatever you're facing today, maybe you're facing an obstacle that you said, oh, I've never been there, and this is overwhelming. It's overwhelming to us, but it's not overwhelming to him. His love will see us through every part of it. Just look back in your life. Look what you've already come through. Who guided you then? You say, well, it didn't come out as the way I thought it should. Well, did it come out? You're still here. God said, let me guide your life. And when I do, you will find the blessings that you're looking for. When you guide your own stuff, well, good luck. That's all I can say. That's just the first half of what I want to say today. But I'll do you a favor. I'm not going to say any more, okay? I will do that. I'm going to save the rest of it for maybe next week or maybe some other time. I don't know what God ever tells me to do. He always changes it on me, usually about 4 o'clock in the morning, on a Sunday morning. But I will say this to us. Let him guide you. There's nobody greater. Let him direct your path. You say, well, I'm bent on this. Well, get unbent. Straight is the way. Yeah, that's the way you got to go. It's narrow. He said, but I will guide you every moment of that direction by faith in who I am. And it will always bring him glory. Okay? Let's pray.